Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I was born a U.S. citizen in San Mateo, California, to parents of German descent. I didn't understand what it meant to be born as part of a country. In fact, I was 5 years old before I discovered I was not living in Germany. In kindergarten, they told me I was a citizen of the U.S., and I protested fiercely. And all I can remember is I didn't think I was in the U.S. Being part of the family is similar. My daughters were born into a family without their choosing. They had no idea what it was to be in our family until they grew. And from extended family, they learned not only our ethnicity, but kind of what the rules were and what it meant to be part of that family. All Saints' Day is a day that we remember and we celebrate the fact that we are part of a family of saints. And to say that we're all saints and a family of saints is the same thing as to say that we're part of the family of God. And the Apostle John says that right away in our text for today. See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. So what does it mean to be part of the family of God? To be part of the family of God means that you are entitled to all of the privileges that belong to the children of God. See what great love God has for you to make you his child. Becoming a child of God is a great act of love, because at one time we were not children of God. Oh yeah, God created everybody. But because of our rebellion and our sin, we were no longer God's children. And so he carried out that greatest act of love. He gave up his own son. God's son became one of us, even a child, no less. And this child of God, Jesus, kept all of the demands that God's law places upon human beings, and then he died on the cross for the sins of each of God's wayward children, including you and me. And so that's what we now are. We are not just called the children of God, we are. What amazing privileges come with being children of God. In your sin, you're a slave to sin. But now you are a member of God's household. The Bible reminds us, so you no longer are a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. You've received the promised Spirit of God to guide you, to direct you, and to help you to live out your days as sons and daughters of God. God promises to be with you always. A gracious parental parents, a physical, sacramental presence. God promises to listen to all of your prayers as a dear father listens to their dear children. You're entitled to the inheritance of God, heaven. And that includes a resurrection of our bodies and the life of the world to come. We don't know what it's going to look like. That's what John said. But when Christ appears on that last day, we know that we will be changed to appear in glory like His. To be part of the family of God means you have great responsibility that comes with family membership. You and I are called to live our lives as the purified people that Christ has made you to be. We're no longer to look like the world. We no longer are to march in the step of the world around us. The world should not even recognize us, and they should just scratch their heads when they hear the kind of decisions we make and the kind of life that we live. I mean, looking like Christ means we're going to be rejected like Christ. The world didn't know Him. They're not going to know us. As part of the family of God, we live out our vocation. That is, our daily activities, whatever our hand finds to do, as the priesthood of the baptized, called to offer spiritual sacrifices in everything that we touch and everything that we do. To be part of the family of God means that you learn from the family of God. You learn from all of those who are in Christ before you. You learn from them how to rely on God, bearing witness to His working with them. Martin Luther in the Large Catechism writes, "Thus we must regard baptism and make it profitable to ourselves, that when our sins and conscience oppress us, we strengthen ourselves and take comfort and say, nevertheless, I am baptized. But if I am baptized, it is promised me that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in body and soul." Have you ever noticed in the funeral service in our hymnal, when a congregation or family member dies, what is said? It's that service that's around page 278. In holy baptism, the deceased was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covers all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." See, being part of the family of God doesn't end when we die. The Bible says that when we die, our souls depart to be with Christ, and we await the resurrection of the body. You and I, who are alive on earth after we have buried a loved one, we're not comforted with just knowing that our loved one is with Christ. What we are really comforted with comes at the sacrament of the altar. As we hear in the liturgy, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you. all the saints are gathered here. And in that gathering, when we commune, we remember not only that God is here to eat and drink with us, but all of the saints who went before us. On All Saints Day, we remember those saints who went before us. But on All Saints Day, we remember those saints who went before us by name. We name the brothers and sisters in Christ. And we also privately, maybe when we kneel, name also those family members. I remember Johann Eberhard Mayer, Hilda Keller Mayer, Paul Meyer, Hans Arfsten, Maria Schliefke Arfsten, Gisela Christina Arfsten Meyer. And if Jesus waits to appear before you and I are gone from the sight of those gathered here, we're going to be the saints gathered with Christ and present here in the supper, remembered by our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and by our descendants. Your call to the family of God is to recognize a reality beyond your own experiences and your own understanding. It's to remember your place in the family in spite of your failures or your own disappointments. That call to the family of God is to remember who you are, who you really are, a child of God, full of hope, grounded in the promises of God, who claims us as his own and who will never forget us and never let us go.